Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. I'm not sure what your time zone is, but welcome to all of our listeners. Some of you are live with me today because you follow on Twitter, and we always let you know when there's a pre-record, and others will hear this when the show airs or in its archives. But my beloved ones, you are my light family, and I am grateful for you in my life. Let us begin with your questions. And two, actually, that are written completely independently of one another, and I'm sure they had no idea that the writing was taking place, that keep it together. And so, in fact, there might even be three that fit together here. So, first one is from Nancy from Arizona. Could you shed some insight on the dream from last night? I was standing in front of a throne, one being sitting in the center, others sitting on both sides. A power wheel was spinning above me. Then I knelt down and held the hand of the one in the center, held hands and made vows, although I don't remember what vows. I know it was profound. If you can, could you share some insights about this? Then we have one from Jennifer in New York that has a very similar genre. I had a dream. I was in a Gothic-style chamber, like a palatial temple. Gothic in style, yet luminous and pearlescent. Not lots of detail, very clean and austere. Yet the curvature made it harmonious. A purplish silver sheen and light shining from the walls. The ceiling was so high I could not see it from my viewpoint, for I was on my knees in front of two thrones, with majestic beings in sumptuous garb, exquisite light-colored cloth, very thick and soft, and it also glowed. There was an echoing choir that was like a hum that resonated from the walls, like a 3D sound system. Then let's take a look at Hong An's, because all the explanation for all this is the same. Where is it? Hong An. And she had this a few nights ago, and it was a vision that was so real, she felt that she could photograph it with her camera, except she didn't have her camera with her, and she said that it was so large that she doesn't know that the camera would have actually really caught anything. She says, I saw a big palace with beautiful, exquisite Gothic architecture in the middle of a barren land in Afghanistan. You confirmed with me that it was one of the Infinite's holy cities, and they are becoming materialized and dense, and everyone can see them. You have discussed in another radio show, I was the guest on a radio show last night for someone, that once the relationship between the Creator and Cosmos is solved, it will be easier to bring down heaven on earth. Could you please expand on this? So, Jennifer and Nancy and our beloved sister Hong An have basically seen something that is quite similar. They have been in one of the holy cities of the infinite. My brothers and sisters, for multiple years now, the oracles that have been very actively involved in translation, in drawing the architectural drawings of the insides of these places, which we will soon have for you available in the book, The Realms of Innocence. It's quite a mammoth work, so it's taking me a lot of time, and I'm hoping to have it done in a month. But it's massive because it is giving you the crucial secrets of each of the 130 sacred libraries on Earth. And amongst them is the architecture and the structure and so on of these holy cities. Well, of one of the holy cities, because there are multiple and their architecture is very different. And yes, Jennifer, the one in Afghanistan, and I didn't really look at this until after Hong An had approached me about her vision. And then I was able to go and look at it, and it is. It's Gothic. It's more minimalistic. The one that's over Johannesburg is way different again. The one that's over Johannesburg looks like something in the old gnarled roots of a tree. It's all gilt and jewels. I've never seen so many jewels in one of the holy cities. Mostly, like the one here that's over Oregon, has got its beauty lies in the exquisite designs. Some of these designs have been captured in, if you go to www.divinearchitect.com, you will see 300 of the mother's wheels. The 300, what's called the father wheel, the masculine component, you will find on our ebook, I believe. You can double check on the forum with Hong An on this one, but I believe that it's in The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, a $12 ebook. That's an incredible, incredible revelation of how life began. So my brothers, sisters, they're all different. Our oracles have been going back and forth and back and forth, but new ones are coming. And more of the light workers on Earth, and very much so the masters in my classes, because we're working with this, are able to visit either in the dream time or in visions. And as you do it more and more, you actually start to be able, like a lucid dream, you know, but to walk around the city to start to get to know its architecture. They're so vast, it will take many years to know it, but even a corner of it. You know, I remember I was in and out of the House of Lords in England for about, well, my goodness, about 10 years. And it took me years to get to know the House of Lords. Just because Palace of Westminster is so large, this is many, many, many times larger. So you will be able to go back and forth with far more ease. And this is what the oracles are seeing. And yes, Jennifer, it's by the sounds of it, it is the one in Afghanistan. Nancy's, she doesn't give me much detail about her, about the architecture, but it feels to me like it's the Sedona one. Because there's a city above Sedona, and it's crystal and glass and just exquisite gilt everywhere. Let's answer the rest of Hong An's question. Could you please expand on your statement that when the relationship between the Creator and the cosmos is solved, it will be easier to bring down heaven on earth? And it says, could you please expand on this? For those of you that have followed my Twitter, and I've put several entries in this morning, and I assume that Trujillo has posted them. I believe he has. If they're on there, take a look at them. You don't have to be a member of Twitter, my brothers and sisters, to get on my page. And on our home site, we have a page that just directs you everywhere. We've got magnificent forums. We've got one where your personal questions are answered about your personal life. We have one that answers about where discussions take place about the deeper meanings of the of the teachings themselves. And those are on forum.schoolofarcana.com. But regardless, I am not very good at remembering these addresses. I have 14 different websites. Please take a look at our page on our home site on www.spiritualjourneys.com. I have also designed for you a guide, because it just got to be time that people saying, oh my gosh, there is so much information pouring through. I can literally be writing a book a week. How do I find my way around? Well, I've created a schematic, and if you go to the forum and schoolofarcana.org, you will find it. It's also on my home site. It is what helps you find your way. Are you interested in miracles? Are you interested in prophecy? Are you interested in alchemy or angels or healing methods or to enhance your mystical gifts? Whatever your line of interest is, it shows you where to go, and then from there it gives more details. So we've got this sort of a roadmap to help navigate people through the intricacies of the great volumes of work that are coming in. So if you, let me see, where was I? So on Twitter this morning, I spoke about the fact that because cycles keep repeating themselves of illusion, it is becoming very clear to me, also from my night's work that I did through the night, it is becoming very, very clear to me that there is one core illusion that caused the first separation. It formed a split. It formed duality. It formed polarity, which is meaning one is more receptive, one is more proactive, feminine, masculine. And duality is that which should be together is split into two or more pieces. So it formed polarity and it formed duality. So my brothers and sisters, the core illusion is my today's work. If you go to almeendiary.com by tonight or maybe by tomorrow morning, you will find the answer. I don't have it at this moment. I wrote on Twitter this morning, you know, that this is my day's work. Today I'm a lady with a mission. We have to find the core illusion that caused that split. But a split happened with the infinite. From the trauma of the split, its magnetic feminine components went into a fracturing that is like a coma. A coma is when something fractures inside that should be whole, and it's awareness. Awareness here used not in the technical way in which I usually teach it, but the person's awareness of the world. And the fracturing causes a great memory loss. So it fractured in two. The more feminine receptive part that became more feminine and receptive, because before this there was only androgyny. There was no masculine. There was no feminine. There was only undivided oneness. But when something fractured, the more receptive components of that oneness gravitated towards each other instead of being evenly spread. It became a feminine component. The other half of this split was a masculine component, and it became what we know as the infinite or the creator. Did it create the other part? No. They both are two chickens that hatched from one egg, if you will. So they were the same. But memory was lost, and the memory for the masculine was held in the feminine. When you have a tape recorder and a tape, the memory of the tape is actually in the magnetics of the tape. But the electrical is needed to be able to access or interpret it. Both suffered severe shock. The memory was lost. The infinite forgot what was what in terms of its own being across that, let's call it the great divide, across that schism that formed. It assumed that it had created it. So the masculine component took upon itself a physical form. I have been saying that the infinite is androgynous, is embodied here on earth. It has a form. You know, somebody asked me the other day, in fact, it might even have been Nancy, actually, why it is that we can't see the infinite. Well, we can't see the infinite because we're the macrocosm, microcosm of the macrocosm. The infinite cannot really see itself. It's like the television creating the television images. It can't see its own images it's producing, or the pipe that produces the stream of water. The pipe does not see the stream that comes off the other side, and it can't see itself. So the television can't see itself. So my brothers and sisters, we have not seen the infinite embodiment because the infinite itself can't, and man is very much a microcosm. However, the masculine part of that split is embodied here on Earth. So what happened to the other part of the split? It also created a body for itself. And that body was the cosmos. Last night, as a guest on another show, and I had my students listening, it was said that it's the greatest Cinderella story ever told. Because the cosmos thought it was a child, a creation, a secondary thing that arose. And it wasn't. Now, I must just make something really, really clear here, and then we've got to take our break. We're running a bit late, but I didn't want to interrupt this, you know. My brothers and sisters, the physical cosmos as we know it with its wear and tear, the physical body of the infinite, they have just been entirely dissolved so that the pure pristineness of the true one being can actually be exposed. And in dissolving it, the schism has been dissolved so that they can join into one. What happened to the cosmos and all its individuations? Well, what we know of it dissolved, but underneath it lay those individuations like the intricate facets of the feminine of the infinite being, which now, when it merges back to its masculine, becomes part of the one being. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almine. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And I just want to remind our listeners that we have got a 100-minute really nicely made video tutorial for 100 minutes on the BBS web video education. Now, I don't quite know what it's called, but it used to be called Web Professor. It's the web tutorial site for BBS radio. And so the thought that fractured the infinite, really an exquisite piece of work done by Rogier, our producer for our video, is being shown there, and so please take a look at it if you can. It's different than the book because it's far more comprehensive in some of its aspects than the book. So we have a book that's called The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, and we have got a web tutorial that is 100 minutes long through BBS that's called The Thought That Fractured the Infinite. They are wonderful when used together. They answer many of the questions that are just barely touched in A Course of Miracles, according to what my students tell me. So, okay, to continue. So, where is it that these holy cities that we would like to materialize are? Well, we want to materialize it from the infinite's creation into created life, which is the cosmos. But it had thought of created life as a creation that it needed to fix and to mold and to bring up, you know, in its ascension. This is what the infinite has considered in terms of the cosmos. It's crystal clear from all the things that have been placed into the laws of reality that I've been working with for many hours every day since February of 2005. And we've on rare occasions been on a BBS show where I've had to interrupt the show because the infinite in particularly, and it's not actually the case anymore, but particularly in the years gone by, when something was written into the book of life, this is written about in the book of Revelation, it's the book of life determines reality in the past. It metamorphosed to the infinite intent and then beyond, but now I don't have to voice it anymore, but for many, many years I would have to translate the infinite's language and voice it. Or I could say it in the infinite language, but I usually translated it into English and created and had to speak it at these denser levels. Then life became one level. And, you know, the only thing that hides an angel from human eyes is that the frequency is higher. But light was all combined into one note. And even the frequency is just variations on the one note. When that happened, I no longer had to speak every word after the infinite and anchor it into the physical. However, for many years I did, and I'm still hearing when anything is changed in the cosmos. That's why I'm writing, actually, two blogs right now. The beautiful blog that's produced by Jan is on the AlmeenDiary.com, and daily I'm sharing also on the forum of schoolofarcana.org, and it's Simon's forum that has that question and answer or insight on every day. He also has meditation on there for you. So Hong An's, on the other hand, is somewhat different. But my brothers and sisters, it's clear from all the laws that have been put in that the infinite has tried and tried and tried and tried to bring the cosmos into greater illumination, thinking that it created it, thinking that it created the pain that was in it, etc. There is total innocence in how all this came to be. Something happened that fractured it. Now, we have peeled it back and peeled it back and peeled it back. It's important that you, as the major light workers on the planet, know how illusion or darkness or any such thing came into existence. The book and the tutorial will give you that. But there is a key and core concept that today I will find, and it will go on that diary. The point is that the infinite's relationship with the cosmos has been parental when it should have been that it recognizes it as its own. The beauty of it that has happened as a result is that through that part of the infinite that we shall call the feminine part that made for itself the body of the cosmos has refined and refined and refined life. It has become a very, very exquisite faceting of a rough diamond. The diamond has always been exquisite and perfect in nature. But we can actually create facets for it. Oh dear. Hold on one second. The infinite is saying, Ishbach kaye, ishkia nash, usa vakye inach baukye. Nash bauskete me ishkia nasha, ishyatuch mesveche. You are touching the heart of the one great illusion. The words that you speak in this moment is truth for this moment. By the end of today, all this shall be done away. In other words, I am laboring under a misperception, my brothers and sisters. I'm touching something that is an illusory concept. And I believe that where it is that the infinite itself had to refine itself in any way. There is the end of the thread, and I will have to follow that thread into the labyrinth. But certainly the relationship has to be fixed between the infinite realizing that it is not creating a holy city inside the cosmos. It is the cosmos. Thus it creates the holy city within itself. Let's take another little break and we'll be right back.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almin has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almin's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almin's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, let us continue with your questions, my brothers and sisters. And we have one here from Laura Lee from Alaska. And let us take a look at what she says. That she's raising some really, really interesting things that I think are very thought-provoking. So she says, this is an interesting question I've always had for teachers and healers. It seems odd to me that people who are great mystics and healers would charge other people to experience their wisdom and healing gifts firsthand. I know not all you do, but why do you? Don't your gifts and wisdom come from the abundance from which we all come? And then she has a quote here. The abundance from which I come is the abundance within my soul, which is the abundance I enjoy creating in the outer world. Okay, and the reason I'd like to answer this question is that it has so many, many teachings contained in it. So let's take a look and start from scratch. Now, let us suppose for a minute that that this beloved sister that sent this question in is a dental hygienist. She cleans people's teeth. Then I suppose her husband is a college professor. Her brother is a garbage collector. And her aunt is a great mystic or a great teacher. What is the difference that makes one job so sacrosanct, shall we call it, so sacred that you cannot charge for it, which, you know, of course, there's another question buried in there, but let's go one by one. What makes one job so sacred that you can't charge for it, but makes the garbage collector's job or the dental hygienist's job unholy? The great ascended masters that we work on also go to have their teeth cleaned. If they become more ethereal, their teeth does not need to be cleaned. But if they become more ethereal, they lose the ability to be the proxy for the cosmos. Because the proxy is in the flesh. And this is something I've never really verbalized. Why is it that masters are still having to have their teeth cleaned, their hair shampooed? Shouldn't it be so that nothing there is dirty? It's like that to a very large extent. There was a time that the infinite actually had me not bathe for something like 10 days, showing me a way to cleanse my own body. And it was phenomenal. You know, people go, when I tell them this, it was incredibly clean. I could actually produce pure water, not salty, not sweat, not smelly, pure water from head to toe through my skin. And I could do this on a daily basis, which would rinse the skin, and all I had to do was towel it off. I did this for roughly 10 days, no bathing, incredibly clean. However, the point is that for me, I love my baths. I love to sit in the bath. It's my little holiday. In addition, if I become more ethereal, there's a lot that you lose. So the point is that being the dental hygienist is a sacred, sacred work if you have a master in your chair. But we have just seen from our previous discussion on the show that all of the cosmos is filled with the infinite. The trash that you pick up, the teeth that you clean, the students that the professor teaches, all of it is holy work. So there is no work more holy than another. And, you know, it takes my breath away, like we have just translated, and you can see some of these on both the forum that is the one that's moderated by Simon, as well as our diary, our daily diary. You can see the beauty of the Malachite tablets of the Isis libraries that I've been translating. They're absolutely exquisite. They are polished malachite with engraved gilt lettering, and it's the Holy Mother's alphabet that I gave in the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. So, you know, it's incredibly holy. But is it more holy than the flower that the florist puts into an arrangement to be delivered to a sick person? Really? No. There's nothing more holy than another place. We have spent the last week working with the dissolving by seeing the fallacy of seven of the main illusions of life described in the seven main tablets of Malachite in the Isis libraries. And they speak about seeing the divinity within certain things but not finding them everywhere as one of the great illusions. So the first point that I want to make regarding your comments, Laura Lee, is that my work is no more holy than yours. And if you're charging for yours, I certainly am able to charge for mine. But now let's look at the rest. The issue of charging. The charging has got many ramifications. During the time, there was a very, very short period that I got $2,000 a month alimony. I lived on the $2,000 a month, and I healed people literally sometimes day and night, but mostly 6 to 7 hours a day. And I would heal them, and there would be some sort of little basket at the door if they could put something in or not, but mostly I didn't even put the basket out. I gave because I wanted to grow, and that left the cosmos in my debt. And so as I did that, I became more and more very proficient at healing. You know, many, many, many miracles happened in those days because there was, that was my compensation. Currently, here is what we have. I give you gifts, great gifts. Let me tell you what they are, and then you give me gifts. Let me explain what they are. There are 14 websites out there, all of it with cutting edge, groundbreaking photography information, ranging all the way from shamanism to alchemy to the mystical kingdoms to the Earth Chronicles about Atlantis and Lemuria and their alphabets. But basically, each of those websites was 2 inches of writing that I did on paper. 2 inches of writing is a book's manuscript. That's for you for free. And so I've given you 14 books free by giving you those 14 websites. I could have just given you teasers, published the books electronically, let you pay for them. That's my gift to people that come to me for this work. Then, I have been and am still. Every book that somebody is reading, I'm paying them to read that book. The books for me are a loss leader, so that the work can go into the furthest corners of Russia, down to Chile, into Patagonia, Eastern Europe, Malaysia, etc. If I did not charge and I continued doing my work, I would spread the word very, very avidly to a few hundred people. If I charge, it enables me to spread it worldwide. My sister, I have not taken a salary from spiritual journeys. My money that I live off of, I have to find somewhere else. I have not earned it from spiritual journeys, nor its books, nor anything else, since 3 Decembers ago. Before that, I took minimal amount. I took something like $1,500 a month to be able to cover my expenses. From 3 Decembers ago, I have not had 1 cent. So in other words, I'm working for spiritual journeys for free. I'm paying you to read my books. I am giving you free books, 14 of them, as websites, and I am making everything I possibly can available to people who really want to come to my classes and cannot afford it. We have just put out on our websites, on our forum, on our blog, if I'm not mistaken, and Hilda has sent it out as an email, ways for people that don't have money to be able to come to my pods. My pods have to cover. This is why I have to work so much. If you look at my schedule this year and understand that I am a single mother and that the best place in the world for me is with my daughter. And I'm giving the time away from my daughter because my overhead for people to spread this worldwide, to run my office, to ship these books, to create these websites is a third of a million. So I have to create the money to pay for the third of a million to pay for spiritual journeys. It hasn't paid me. So, you know, I just wanted to make that clear. Should it be this way? No, it really shouldn't. I should be getting a salary for the work I do from this entity called Spiritual Journeys. Why has it been this way? Because it's been this way cosmically. The infinite has been doing the work of getting truth and light and blessings and etc. to its creation, its thought, to cosmic life. Cosmic life has not actually paid back the infinite. And so I have been working for free, paying people to read my books, because I wanted to make life a better place. And secondly, the point of the matter is that what I'm receiving isn't mine to keep. When I understand the writing or the alphabets of the angels, when I can translate their plates, when these sacred truths of their holy magic, which is currently being put into book form as a trilogy, the gift of the angels, the restoration of the holy powers of the angels to man, it's not mine to keep. And if I have no money, it's going to go to the local people in my little town of 10,000 people and not many other places. So this is how it's been. So anyway, let's take another break, and when we come back, we will see if there's anything unanswered there about giving and healing. See, the other fallacy, just really quickly, and then perhaps we can move on to another question, is let's look at the quote, "The abundance from which I come is the abundance within my soul." Very aptly said. We are the one life expressing as the many. But now it says, which is the abundance I enjoy creating in the outer world. There is no outer world. There is no generosity. There is really no receptivity. My beloved sister, it is a fallacy. All there is yourself. You are the beggar in the street. You are the tycoon in his office building. You are the person walking down that street. All that exists is within you as a consciousness superimposed over itself. As long as your heart is in the right place, and there isn't the greed of wanting to become more than another, or, you know, not having enough. I live basically on $1,000 a month. That's the money I have when my bills are paid to buy groceries and everything else. I have more than enough. I have everything. Whenever I need something, someone presents it. It doesn't take greed to have a lot. If our heart's in the right place, whatever we charge somebody or whatever we give somebody is to ourselves and from ourselves. There is no inside and there is no outside. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content that is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Al Mean continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Al Mean is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters of light, and we are going to try and work in here another question or two. All right, let me see. We have a beloved one from Switzerland, Intemporel. I hope I'm saying the name correctly. With all these changes, what is happening within our Akashic records? And as duality tends to disappear, what is happening to karma? And I want to actually tie that in with another question, if I can find it here. I think it comes from... Yes, it comes from Simon, I believe, in Toronto. He's asking if it is still necessary to do recapitulation. And recapitulation traces where there is a ripple on the equanimity of your soul, where there is this fish of perception waiting below. It's usually tracked by looking at what irritates you. Allow yourself to become irritable, because the degree of your irritation is going to show you how big of an insight there is. It also traces, where there is a knee-jerk reaction, where you just react and feel like you're out of your center of stillness. And what you then do is recapitulate it. You say, okay, when in my life have I experienced this feeling that I'm feeling? You first analyze what it is you're feeling. Where have I experienced this before? And then, okay, was there a time before that that the similar theme came up? And so you go through your life and you get the insights of where this all began. And to clear these reactions against life that causes dialogue in the mind, it's a way to achieve mastery. And we have in detail given it for you in Journey to the Heart of God as well as Life of Miracles. But, my brothers and sisters, that is to clear karma. And so we've used this as a method. There is no past. Time has collapsed. There's the one fluid moment. So no, there is no karma. Now, what does that mean? Because we had blind spots that created karma, things we just couldn't see. For example, we couldn't see that to hurt another is to hurt ourselves. And in hurting another, you know, we kept wondering why bad things would happen to us, not seeing the connection. So let's say this was part of our karma, but the karma is wiped out. We have the opportunity of seeing this effortlessly without having to go through and gain the insights. But sometimes we are too busy. Sometimes we are too busy learning to take time to learn from our day. Sometimes we ignore those reactions as unmasterly, so we suppress them. There's nothing about ourselves that is unholy, my brothers and sisters, as long as it comes from wholeness. If you are in wholeness and you suddenly experience that which seems dysfunctional, there's a reason for it. There's something to see. So in other words, we would still be using the nine steps of recapitulation when something happens that is reaction causing, to find out why, what are the insights? What a role am I playing here? What am I feeling? What's going on behind the appearances? So they're very valid. And as I said, they're in Journey to the Heart of God, for example. So karma is gone. But recapitulation, as Simon asks, is still necessary. Now, if we take a look at her other question, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure the name Intemporel, if it's a masculine or feminine name. It's just so brand new to me. I've never heard it before, but it's a very beautiful name. With all these changes that are happening within our Akashic records, now, what does Akashic records really hold? The infinite's memory. Oh, and as you can see from the rest of our show, we are very, very much dealing with the loss of the infinite's memory. The Akashic records have been wiped out, beloved one, but I am not sure that they should be. And I have a feeling that that has to do with some of the work that needs to be done today. The Akashic records held the memory of what occurred during the dream. Now, we know what occurred during parts of the dream because I was given that history by the history keepers of the cosmos, and incidentally, fascinating entry about them recently on the blog if you want to read about the Darklings, D-A-R-K-L-I-N, Darkling, L-I-N-G-S. They were the history keepers of the cosmos. And they kept the history of the fall. How we came into the fall, how materialism happened, how the feminine became suppressed, how the earth happened to be in the solar system because it did not originate here. You know, how it came from the other side of Mars, had a piece of it blown off, made its way into this orbit right here, the only planet in our solar system spinning one way, all the other planets spin the other way. So how all that happened is in there. It's a fascinating story because although it was absolutely true when it was written, the infinite has removed the memories of the dream. So that which I wrote, which is exactly the way it happened, I took dictation from the Darklings. I was instructed by the infinite to go to the Darklings to get this history, is now designated as a fable or an allegory. And an allegory or a fable teaches a lesson. It's a story, like the boy who cried wolf too much, I think is one of Aesop's fables. You know, he kept saying there was a wolf coming, and finally there was a wolf coming, and no one believed him because he became untrustworthy in his statements. That is an example of a story that illustrates a point. Tell the truth that people can rely on your words. So it's now designated as a fable or an allegory. The point is that the history has been wiped clean of the Akashic records. But just minutes before I taped this show, I did in fact write something for Simon's Forum to answer a question: how can I best live adoration in action? And a very surprising answer to that question came out. But in it, it also discusses the issue that the infinite, and let's talk about the infinite piece here. We know this is just, at this point, semantics, but the piece that was the soul of the cosmos, if you will, the cosmos being its body, that piece needs to remember, because it's the magnetic piece, it needs to remember its own majesty and who it is. Instead of thinking that it's a child and a creation, it needs to remember that it is instead the infinite. As it remembers the history, which is not history, because history as we know it is linear. The remembrance of the infinite glory within each being, because the infinite itself will remember its glory within that soul of the cosmos, that feminine part of the split. That needs to be reinstated. Now, the memory of glory isn't kept in permanent records as far as I know. But I don't know that. I just today received 8 more malachite tablets that have to be accessed and translated. And the first one has already been sketched by the Oracle Aoife in Toronto. What are they? Are they the memory of the glory? So maybe there's a new form of records coming about? That's very possible. That's also part of today's work that I just haven't gotten to yet. So there's a new type of memory coming, but the Akashic Records as we know it, and you know, I give the language of the Akashic Records in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And it's just fascinating to look at it, but it is obsolete. There is a new language coming, and it's the Holy Mother's language, and the new records will bring in the memory of that which is, not that which isn't, which is the dream. We unfortunately have to close. What a good question. Thank you so much, Intemporel, and we hope to hear from you again. Much love, my brothers and sisters, and for those of you that are on live as we pre-record, there's another hour at least coming, so be with us then too.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.